Grow My Cleaning Company teaches owners of cleaning companies just like you how to grow your company, make more money, and finally take charge of your financial future and your life. This podcast is about automating and creating systems that give you time and money freedom so you can grow like crazy without losing control. Since this is totally free, if you're getting tons of value, want to support us and make sure that you get more of the good stuff, subscribe, rate, and review to this podcast today. Now, on to the show. Hey, everybody. Super excited to talk with you today. We are going to go into something I've really been wanting to share with you guys just about culture and how that came about and why it's so important. And this is, sorry, I've got my wife's coffee mug and I'm having throat coat because my throat's all jacked up. And I think I just spilled it on my shirt. So there you go. All right. I am so excited about, hey, Marco says, happy to be on my first live. Happy to have you, buddy. So we are going to talk about how to build culture in your cleaning company. And I got to tell you, it doesn't sound like a big deal. Hey, everybody, we've got, it's my cleaning service. We've got Pearl, we've got Gurkha. Everybody's on in the house. So excited to have you. This is so freaking important for so many reasons. And I really wanted to kind of be transparent with you guys and just let you know how kind of I got into doing what I'm doing, why it worked and all that sort of stuff. And through this story, I promise there'll be something that will have you an aha for you to go, oh my gosh, I can make more money, have more fun, and have more time freedom. Hey, Amy, good to have you. All right, my throat has been coated. Let's jump into the fun stuff. Good to see everybody on Instagram. We just started doing that. So you guys will have to let us know if you like us on Instagram or Facebook, YouTube, all that sort of good stuff. All right, so here's the deal. I'll give you a little bit of my backstory and you guys and gals in the chat can tell me if this is something, any of this relates to you, right? So I'm old now, but I started off really young. I bought my first company when I was 22, I think. And I had no education, no experience, no exposure to business. My parents both were like government workers. They didn't really make any money. I didn't know anyone that was rich or that owned a business. I had nothing. I tried to cover that up by being super professional, right? Because I thought it would help me be successful, right? Because I was so young and I looked like I had a baby. For those of you guys that are seeing me live now, when I say I have a baby face, you're like, really? Did you? I did, I promise. And so I was like, I will cover this up, my youth and inexperience, by being super professional, right? That will make me successful. And I'm going to let you guys and gals in a little secret. I would love those of you that are willing to share in the chat. If I was really, Pearl says, I feel late in the game. I'll be 32 in October. I just started my business last week. That is A-okay, sister. I don't know that starting a business at 21 or 22 is the smartest thing. The biggest thing, Pearl and everybody out there, is get the systems and processes that you need. As long as you've got that, you can make it work. Okay. So you guys and gals out there that are joining us live, and for those of you that are catching us on the podcast or the YouTube channel and want to join us live, we're Tuesday and Thursday, 10 a.m. Pacific, Facebook, Instagram, we're live in both places now. Love to have you so we can have more interaction. But tell me if this resonates with you. I acted really professional because I thought as my youth, like, oh, that's what will help me be successful. But if I was really honest with myself at the time, and I wasn't, what it really was, it's my cleaning service says, I'm working on my systems as we speak. Fan-friggin-tastic. The reality of the professionals made me comfortable, right? I was like, if I share myself or who I am, people could reject it. But if I just act super professional, like we all agree is the professional way, then no one can really reject me. They would just reject professionalism. We all agree professionalism is okay. So I had this nutty thing. And some, maybe you guys can tell me if any of you have that. So I told myself that's what will make me successful. But the reality was that's what would make me comfortable. Hello, Tidy Cleaning. Good to see you. So at that point, more than anything, I wanted to build a $1 million business. Again, as a little, I shouldn't say little guy, but as a little guy, as an owner, right? I just never seen, I'd never seen more than a couple $1,000s in my whole daggum life. I thought if I, cause, and again, also I had a cleaning company. I was like, that's not a real company, right? Like, you know, I always was quick to tell my friends, oh, we've got employees. Like, I didn't want people to think I was like just a janitor. When I cleaned, I felt like completely a janitor. So in one hand, I was like, I'm this business owner. On the other hand, I'm like, ah, you're just cleaning toilets, right? And I had this identity crisis, but I knew, or I believed if I could just build a $1 million business, then I'd be real, right? No one could, say I had a fake business or I was on a real, you know, so I could tell people I have a cleaning company, but it's $1 million, right? Which, by the way, after having had several multi-million-dollar businesses, I've never started a sentence with, I have an X business. It's over $1 million, right? That's a jerk thing to say. So you think somehow everyone will know it or you'll know it and it'll change everything. And sadly, it doesn't. So again, that was the big thing. For me, just $1 million felt like I'd be real. And again, I would love in the chat for you guys to let me know if I'm completely alone on this or if any of you guys, gals feel or felt the same way. So I ran into a little problem right off the bat. When I first bought the company, all my employees quit on the first day. You have to go, I bought a ServiceMaster franchise and you had to go get training in Memphis, which was fine. Training was good. Came back, had bought the company from the guy and he'd agreed to run it while I was at training because it was required before you could take take over a franchise. When I came back, I literally had a yellow sticky on my door that just said, "We quit, dash the employees." Like that was it. That was all I had. At that point, I recognized the power of culture, right? I didn't know why they quit. And it took me a decade to figure out that it has something to do with culture, right? Because people think, oh, it must have been you. I met them like once for like 10 minutes. So it couldn't have been, nothing happened, right? It wasn't like it was a great meeting, right? What can happen in 10 minutes? Hey, I'm Mike. I'm going to be the new owner. Hey, we're the employees. Great to meet you. Looking forward to working together. See ya. But the reality is there was a strong culture the other owner had, and they must have feared. I'm guessing because I never heard from them ever. So I'm guessing that the reality was they liked the culture that they had, and they were afraid that what we were going to do was going to be different, right? And that took me a decade to figure out. So that said, I spent the next 10 years working really, really hard. And let me know in the chat if you guys are out there going, I'm working hard. Like maybe some of you quit. This isn't my story, but I talked to enough of you guys who've quit a job making 60 grand a year, working 40 hours a week. And now you're making 40 grand a year, working 60 hours a week. And you're like, I have a lot more freedom. I think I love it. I think this is the best of my life, but it's still not what I'd hoped, right? So I spent 10 years doing that. Actually, my only job I'd had when I was 21 is selling cars, and I made $50,000 my last year working, you know, 40 years a week, 40 hours a year or 40 hours a week. And I think my first year at my cleaning company, I made like 40 grand or something. I probably worked 60 hours a week. So maybe you guys have that same circumstance. The problem is I spent 10 years working really, really hard to scratch out some very modest success, right? And when I was about 30, after having done this for 8 years, my wife left. I had been, and by the way, for all of you guys that know me, I'm married now to my wife, Natalie. We've married over a decade, been together over 14 years. Not Natalie. Natalie's amazing. Not that my ex-wife wasn't amazing, but she left, you know, for whatever the case may be. And a lot of it had to do, I'm sure, with working too hard, right? I had a mistress in that business that I was constantly, that was my focus. That really moved me from really wanting to have $1 million business because I hadn't reached it, or I think maybe $500,000 was the biggest we got before that, to having to pay bills, right? Like my wife left, and I don't know if any of you guys or gals have an opportunity to be getting divorced right now, please, please, please pass on that opportunity. It's a terrible opportunity. So like many, I went broke, didn't have any money, lost my business, kind of had to start everything over. But I was in the position, having been divorced, I had alimony and child support, and like I had to make some money. You know, you don't pay alimony, you go to jail, man. So I had to make, I think I figured out like it was like 70, 75 grand a year just to live at the poverty level, and pay all my bills, right? Hey, Maxine from the Netherlands, good to have you, sister. And I think she's one of our new elite customers. I'm looking forward to seeing you in about an hour, young lady. Anyway, so I kind of went from really wanting to build a business to, oh my gosh, I've got to get this done. The problem was I was unable to put on that professional mask, right? For the first time in 8 years, I just couldn't do it, right? The divorce kicked me right in the teeth and I couldn't fake being professional, right? So the real me just came out. And the real me wasn't attractive at that time. He was pretty devastated. And I wanted to have fun and I had to make money, but I didn't have the energy and skill to like put on the mask, right? I just couldn't do it. Even the fun, it's not like you want to have fun. It's just like I can't have stress all the time, right? So I kind of had to have work as the release. So this is when the new opportunity came, and this is where I want everyone to perk up if you've been napping before. At this point in history, I realized not only did my customers and employees not want fake professional, it was actually turning them off. It was, I thought, again, in addition to making me a little more comfortable, I could be fake and professional. you know, but at least, you know, it would attract people. It didn't. It was turning them off. What they really wanted was anything real. And I got to tell you, if you guys met me then, it wasn't that I was a super attractive character, right? I was just divorced. I was kicked in the teeth. I was broke. I was going through some stuff, man. So I couldn't have been all that attractive, but I was real. And people were really attracted to that. Stupid stuff. I'll just give you some examples. You can kind of feel what that might feel like for you guys. Just to show you how dumb I was. When we did our office, you know, I was like, I painted the walls gray, and we had this commercial grade, like kind of gray carpet. Like, what would the most professional office look like? As opposed to that, we moved to our new office and I started over. I think I made tan, like concrete, like garage stuff that had like white and black speckles in it. And we painted one wall of every room red. The name that I'd had was Del Rico Custom Fabric Design and Manufacturing. I hadn't made that, the old owners had, but I didn't keep it. We turned it to Killer Shade, right? We just turned the thing. Instead of employees sitting at their desk during lunch, we played foosball. That became a thing. We play foosball all the time. Here's a big one. You guys can jump in if this is anything that you've dealt with. Instead of pretending when people said, oh, we pay 2%, 10 net 30. And me going, oh yeah, of course, 2%, 10 net 30. And then having to go like ask around and go, what the heck does that mean? Well, it meant they wanted a 2% discount if they paid what they owed me within 10 days, or they'd pay me the whole amount a month from now, or 60, net 60, right? Or net 90, any of these crazy terms. So, as opposed to going, oh yeah, of course, net 60, that makes sense. I've got to do that. I had to tell them I couldn't afford it, right? I didn't have the money. I couldn't wait for my money. And here's a little insider trick secret, guys, gals. Most of the people that I couldn't afford it, and I wasn't negotiating with them. I just didn't have the money. And I said, sorry, I can't do it. I need half down and half on completion. I don't have the money to do it. Surprise. I lost almost no jobs because I can't remember losing any jobs. I'm sure I did, but I can't remember losing a single job. So, again, I cheated in that I wasn't negotiating. Like if you have the money, you might tell them you can't do it, but you know, you can't, I couldn't. So I wasn't negotiating. It was just the truth, but you'd be shocked at how little that made a difference when they wanted to work with me because we were real. And I said, I'm going through a divorce. I'm broke. I can't afford net 30. That was it, right? And a lot of people are like, oh my gosh, you can't tell it to a customer. They're going to run away. They're going to never like talk to you again. I was afraid of the same thing, but what else was I going to do? That was the case that I was in. So, and all of them I can remember, and probably most of them stayed with me, right? Here's another one. Instead of thinking the perfect employee handbook would solve everything, like in my quest for $1 million, like if I just had the perfect employee handbook, that would solve everything. I realized that living by my core values, that four simple rules would not just change my life, it would change my employees' life and my customers' life and our whole community that we touched. And by the way, our rules are have fun, make money, be real, and help out. And that was 15 years ago. Still have the same rules in this company today. As opposed to thinking I had to pay more to get good employees, I realized I had to provide a better experience. That's a write or downer, kids. Instead of going like, because I hear that all the time, I'm paying $12. Everyone sucks. No one wants to work. Maybe if I paid $14, guess what? If you paid 60, 80 grand, you'd probably get a better caliber of person. 12 to 14 bucks or 10 to 12 bucks or 12 to 30, whatever that case is, it's not going to make a difference. You need to provide a better experience. That's the culture that we're talking about. When I'm talking about the colors of our office, that we played foosball, that we were real, that we had shared core values. This is what culture looks like. And again, the way I learned it was through massive amounts of pain and suffering and a lot of financial loss. I want you guys and gals to be able to learn it the easy way, right? I paid the tuition to go to college. I want you guys to get the education. So instead of paying more to get good employees, you have to provide a better experience. Instead of, here's opposite, which is also delightful, as opposed to having to charge less to get the good customers, you still have to provide a better experience, right? So custom, and again, I was in construction. This is low bid situation, right? So I don't want any of you guys to be like, you don't understand me in the cleaning. We've got three bids. Yeah, I was in construction. Trust me, there's three bids. That said, I provided an experience of real. The people that we worked with loved us and loved our community. They come play foosball with us. They come to our parties. They knew, liked, and trusted us, and we knew and loved them. And they would do everything they could to get us into the bids. They'd call us and be like, here's where the other bidders are at. Here's where we need to be. Let's sort this thing out. I don't want to say scheme, but we'd work together to make sure they got the bid, and they would always make sure we got the bid. So we didn't have to pay more to get the good employees, and we certainly didn't have to charge less to get the good customers. We just had to provide a better experience to both of them, a real experience. And here's the big thing. I learned that instead of being the answer to all the questions, so again, when I started, I was like, oh, come to me, I'll answer. You know, and I think a lot of us feel that like, oh, you know, it feels good when employees call or text or email or whatever, like, hey, Mike, what do you do here? And then bam, you solve that question problem. Another employee, and we're solving problems all the time. And it feels good. Well, man, I didn't have the energy to do any of that crap. So I realized instead of being the answer to all the questions, first of all, I'm not that smart. I'm still not that smart. I wasn't that I ain't now. the core values were the answer. And I just had to point to those core values every day. So people go, this customer's pissed off. What do I do? Well, what do you think the most fun situation for you, me, and them would be? How do you think we can make the most money for them and for us? How do you think we can be totally real and transparent in this situation? How do we have fun? How do we help out? How do we serve them? How do we serve each other? And how do we serve them? Right? So I kept pointing to the core values. So the reality is I clarified the core values so everybody could understand them, right? The big mistake a lot of us make is we go, we're going to raise shareholder value by doing the right thing and having integrity and making sure, and we try to use big, I can't even use big words and fake it. We try to use all these big words to sound professional. Mine are have fun, make money, be real, help out. We literally have California Cleaning Services. I'd love to join from Instagram. We'd love to have you from Instagram. Welcome. So again, have fun. Who would say that is their business core value? But that's who we are, right? And if you deal with us at any time, you know we're going to have fun. I'm freaking drinking out of a big, ridiculous cup with gold speckles on it and throat coat in front of God and everybody because who cares? Make money. A lot of people get freaked out. You can't tell people you want to make money. Yeah, I can. And guess what? For you guys, owners of cleaning companies, want to help you make money. I want to help me make money. And we hire people. I want them to make money, right? We never do it at the, like, hey, we'll make more money and screw our customers. No. Me and the customers will make money. We'll screw our employees. No, because we want the best. And the employees and the customers make a bunch of money, but I'm broke. That ain't going to work. So we want to make money for everybody. And we tell that's a core value. So if anyone's like, you should charge less. The fact that you make a bunch of money, I don't like that. Well, then screw you. We're not a fit. Piss off. We're not a fit. It's okay, right? So that's the other thing, by the way. You are going to disqualify as many people, hopefully, if you're doing it right. Hey, Carmen from San Jose. Good to see you. You're going to disqualify as many of the wrong people as you're going to qualify the right people. So really important that we're okay with that, right? If anybody out there listening, California says this is a very small cup of coffee. It's actually a big cup of throat coat, which isn't working. You hear my voice cracking, and I've got a coaching call in like 45 minutes, so it's gonna be bad times. Anyway, the reality is I defined my core values so everybody could get them, right? So it wasn't like serve the community in a way that brings value to the help out. That's it, right? Make money, be real. We just call them exactly like we see them. And that's who I am. The beautiful thing is when I had my car dealership, I would have probably, if I was trying to serve my customer, I'd come up with, be honest and cheap prices and high quality or something like that would have been the core values I thought they would have wanted, but they would have seen right through that. That's not who I mean, not that I'm against those things, but that's not who I am at my core. But when I say I'm having fun, making money, being real, helping out, that's who we were at this company, and my company before that, any companies in the future, that's who I'm going to be. And the people that like that are going to be attracted, both employees and customers. The people that don't are going to stay out of my life, which is great because we're not going to get along anyway, right? So the beautiful thing is once you've got your core values, you can communicate them well, you'll start attracting people that share those core values and your life gets a lot better. And you'll realize your only job is to infuse those values into every piece of your business. And then you can retire, right? Because I don't have a big operations manual for our team, right? There's videos that are all real core values based. They can watch on how to do different parts of their job. But really, if they come in, as long as they have fun, make money, be real, and help out, and they can explain to me how I did so, they can do anything. Lindsay, our operations manager, I think she's on here. We're hiring a customer service person or a customer happiness person. And she's like, can I pay them? Can I hire them? What do I need? What permission do I need? I said, well, do whatever you want to do. Just come back to me. Show me how you're having fun, making money, be real, helping out for us and them and our customers, and it'll be fine. And that's how we do it, right? So your job when it comes to making a decision, to hiring and firing, to qualifying or disqualifying, Lindsay gives me the wave on Instagram. I'm assuming that means, yeah, that happened. Qualifying or disqualifying customers, qualifying, disqualifying vendors. Your only job is to infuse core values into all of that. That is what built my first seven-figure business. Like I said, I struggled and struggled and struggled for like 8-9 years. It took me like 4 or 5 years, I think, to build my first multi-million-dollar business. And then ever since then, they've been coming pretty fast, right? So really being real, living with core values is really after all. And I've read, I've paid a lot of stupid tax. I've read a lot of books, spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on my business education. I didn't go to school, just with coaches and mentors and things like that. And honest to goodness, all that was fantastic. Huge help. I don't want you to think that had nothing to do with it. But the biggest, easiest turning point that made the big difference in my million-dollar company was building a company with core values. Sounds weird because everyone's like, how does that relate to revenue? It just does. It gets the right customers, the right employees. That did it. And the beautiful thing is, when I started coaching, I discovered other people would get the same results with their core values. So the cool thing is, if we're working together, I'm coaching, you don't need to share. I mean, you need to share my core values for us to work well together, but you don't have to have the exact same core values, right? Like, my wife has different core values than mine, but they're complementary, not opposite or opposing, right? Okay. So we started coaching, we started realizing other people would get the same results with their core values. And that's the foundation, or became the foundation, of what we teach owners of cleaning companies, that gives them the freedom, right? So once I find, that's the other thing, aside from the revenue, that first company I started running with core values, I was out of for like a year. I think I was in the office 40 days. Like, I was just out all the time. And my people did a great job without me because they were running the company based on our shared core values. And that's what our customers expected. That's what our team wanted. That's what our vendors wanted. And they were able to run it without me. And it just freed me from having to do that micromanagement stuff. So culture and core values and having shared beliefs with your team is the key to not just fast growth, but being freedom for you as the owner. Most of our Millionaire Mastermind members who are getting this, and I can see the cultures they're building, we'll have a 3-day event 3 times a year. They'll spend an extra week or two afterwards. They're actually busting my chops because our next one's going to be in Orlando, and we're going to do a Disney where we get the private VIP tour and everything. The next day, I'm like, I got to fly home after that because I'm doing a 3-day event and then Disney. Like, I got to go get some work done. They're like, come on, Mike, what are you doing? Why are you working? You shouldn't be doing any of that stuff. And I had it coming. It's the truth. So this one shift allowed me to build the best team with the best talent. I built several multi-million dollar companies. The last two have sold for 7 figures each. And the best part is, I can really love what I do as opposed to doing it for the money. I was making a joke with my wife the other day. The government sent us a check for like $1.18 or something. And I was like, oh, hurry up and cash that so we can retire. And even though I was joking, I was like, man, even if that check was for $118 million, I don't know that I'd retire. I really love doing what I do. And I love doing it with the people that I do, right? So not only do we make more money, have more freedom, for me, I love what I do so much more. And I think that the team that we built love being in a place that they feel that they're at home and these are the people they want. So that's it. That's really what I want to say. If you are digging the show, feel free to subscribe, rate, review. Feel free to direct message me, subscribed on Instagram for all you Instagram folks. And I will get you a copy of my book, I'm a Freaking Genius, Why Is This Business So Hard? If you're not Instagram, you want to be and follow us. It's just instagram.com/growmycleaningcompany. Also, if you are like, I love this, but I need help, book a scale session with our team. Oh, thank you for all the love, Instagram. Book a scale session with me and our team. These are really for owners of cleaning. I love seeing all, it's so silly. I know it's silly, but I get all the hearts on Instagram. I'm like, oh, it makes me so happy. You think I'd be above that? I'm not. So these scale sessions are really for owners of cleaning companies or people who are just starting out their cleaning companies, but are committed to scale and they're committed to systems and processes, right? So if you just want to shoot the crap, these are not for you. The scale sessions are really for, hey, Jessica, good to see you, sister. The scale sessions are really for people that are, like I said, committed to systems, committed to scaling quickly, and that's what you want. We are going to look at what's possible for you, not just in terms of time, but money freedom over the next 90 days, over the next 12 months, based on who you're serving, where you're at now, kind of our starting point. And then next, we're going to look on where you're at with pricing, client attraction, hiring, staffing, kind of the key places in your business, find out within those what's working, what's not working, and identify some opportunities that you've got in your business, which leads us to the third thing, which may be the most important, and that is identifying the number one obstacle that's been holding you back, right? Finally, once we've done all that stuff, we're going to map out a 3-step action plan so you can have more fun, help more people, and really make more money, all of which much more quickly. You'll leave the session feeling clear, feeling confident, and excited about cleaning scaling your cleaning business to the next level. So if you want that, grab a time at growmycleaningcompany.com/talk. One of our coaches will be on with you. And again, this is only for owners of cleaning companies, even if you're just starting, who are committed to systems and scaling quickly, and committed, not just interested. If that's you, happy to sit down, look at what's possible, where you're at now, what's been holding you back, the biggest opportunity, and put together a plan to get you there. So you guys and gals are amazing. Love hanging out with you. I can't wait to talk to you on Thursday. See you soon. Thanks for tuning in to today's show. If you're fired up, ready to grow, and want to see if you have what it takes to work with us at Grow My Cleaning Company, here's what I want you to do right now. Go to growmycleaningcompany.com/talk. That's growmycleaningcompany.com/talk to book an appointment to speak with me personally. I'm going to jump on the phone with you to get you crystal clear on where you are now, where you want to be, and how to get you there. Don't walk around in the dark any longer. If you are serious about growing your cleaning company, it's time to finally get the systems in place that you need to grow. We've helped hundreds of owners of cleaning companies not only grow their business and their personal freedom, but give back to their community as well. If that's what you're looking for, head over to growmycleaningcompany.com/talk and book a time to talk with me personally. I can't wait to get to know you and your business.